My name is Lucas Haig. I'm with K-State Research and Extension at the Southwest Research and Extension Center at Tribune. My co-author on this presentation is Alan Schlegel, professor and agronomist in charge, and really a lot of this data is through his work. I've only been at Tribune for a little less than 2 years. First thing I need to do is apologize for a little bit of false advertising. If you came wanting to hear about the leaf temperature component, that data did not get put together for this presentation. It will be in our annual report, and so if you have a specific interest in that, please see me after the presentation, and I'll be sure you receive a copy of that summary when we get it done. I'm going to blow through these first slides really quickly because it's more of a review and summary. Those of you familiar with what's been going on in skip row and planting geometries. But basically where we're at is producers in our region still need to be able to minimize their production risk. And specifically in our region, corn and sorghum. The federal crop insurance system allows a lot of corn to be planted in spite of its agronomic shortcomings in a lot of instances. Our results at Tribune have been to different row configurations have been somewhat variable to date. And we need more knowledge regarding, if using Drew Lyon's talk this morning, and Bob spoke about it earlier, the regarding potential yield increases and yield ceiling with these different systems, and also knowing where the balance is between what we're giving up in soil, surface soil E, versus what it's going to help us potentially in some yield bump. From 04 to 06, Allen's studies at Tribune were at three populations. And we was looking at conventional, plant one, skip one, plant two, skip one, and plant two, skip two. Very quickly in that system, we did get a row spacing main effect in 2004, population in 05, and then an interaction in 06. And so it's been pretty inconsistent. 04, conventional was the best, plant 2, skip 2 the worst. I guess our reoccurring theme at Tribune has been the plant 2, skip 2 has not performed well for us. 04, 05 is just a typical quadratic population response. 06, kind of the same thing, quadratic for most of the treatments except the plant 2, skip 1. Can't explain this, it's not an artifact of the data, it's really the way it turned out. Plant 2, skip 2, we added sorghum in 2007, we dropped back to just plant 2, skip 2 as our treatment at that time. And you can see here, basically the only thing that dropped out significant was over in the sorghum. We did see a benefit to plant 2, skip 2 sorghum in 07. 2008, we expanded the study and did some biomass partitioning and some yield component analysis. Grain yield was significant and total biomass was significant. Our partitioning of dry matter and harvest index, none of those showed up as significant. 2008 grain yields, we had every row at 8, 12, 16, and 20,000. Plant 2, skip 2, and then we also started investigating the clump system. Some work Alan and Bobby Stewart with West Texas A&M had started looking at clump sorghum, and we decided to expand that into clump corn. Last year, our highest yields was with the conventional corn at 16,000. This would be our typical farmer practice at 67 bushel, on down to our four-plant clumps at 27 bushel. Total biomass, of course, every row at 16,000 produced the highest biomass. As we get to our alternate geometries, one of the things we're actually intending to do is reduce biomass production, so no surprise we accomplished that there. So our variability in results, we know that there's a hybrid interaction. A lot of the row spacing work from the corn belt shows that as you move to narrow row corn, there's potential for a huge genotype interaction there. Timing of our precipitation events, residue plays a key role in this in terms of how do we partition that E and ET, and are we giving up more water through the evaporation than what we're gaining in any potential yield effects. And too dry early on in the season, I think, is something I'll revisit that thought here in a minute. So our objectives at the beginning of this year were to continue to evaluate these alternate geometries, intensify our interest in clump planting of corn, and of course some things with biomass and water use. So this year our treatments, corn, all these five geometries were at 12, 16, and 20,000 plants per acre. Grain sorghum, we had the same five geometries at only one seeding rate at 35,000. That's our typical farmer practice in the region. We took soil water measurements via Neutron every 2 weeks to 6 foot in 6 inch increments. And these tubes were placed spatially across a repeatable pattern with regard to the rows. Due to hail damage, no biomass partitioning was performed on the corn. We did determine harvest index from 20 plants out of each plot. 2009 corn, we've seen a significant, well, depends what you want to call significant. We're right at the 0.05. But I guess the trend is evident in that our plant one, skip one, and clump, we're in this upper separation, well, in the conventional as well. There's two main effects. We had geometry main effect and a population main effect. And so we got plant one, skip one, clump, and conventional in the top grouping. Skip within the row was I'm missing a slide here. The skip within the row was another method where we was basically planting six plants and skipping the distance of six plants and then alternating that pattern. So it's kind of a hybrid between a skip row system and a clump system. They're not clustered as tight as they are in a clump, but it's not exactly skip row either. I'll show a better picture later on. We've seen on the population main effect, we've seen a classic quadratic population response curve that we would expect in our environment. We had significant differences in total biomass. This is just a stover portion. This does not include grain. And where we had plant one, skip one, and clump, and conventional in the top grouping, same as the grain, was skip within the row, and then plant two, skip two being our lowest producer of biomass. We've seen the same relationship with a linear relationship with biomass to population, obviously more plants, more stover. We go over to harvest index, not significant, but we do have the same trend here. If you factor that together with the biomass, how we got to our yields. And the same goes, the classic response on harvest index versus corn population. As population went up, our yield per plant went down. This is actually 98 data here, but it leads into what we're thinking is possible on the plant two skip two system, why we're seeing the effect we are. And that is, in plant two skip two, possibly we're depleting the water close to those rows too quickly. We have these two rows at a 30-inch spacing, about like irrigated corn on dry land, and possibly we're depleting that water nearby and putting that plant under stress early, which then keeps it from getting the water we're saving out in the skip later on. This is available soil water in a 6-foot profile versus time. Again, this is last year's data, but this year's follows very similar to it. What we have here is you look at the conventional is the dotted lines, and that is in row and intra row spacing. So that's in the planted row and then 15 inches off that in the center in between the rows there. And then we have our different positions within the plant two skip two system. This is 45 inches out. This is in the middle of that skip. And so at the end of the season, that 6-foot profile, we're leaving about between 5 and 5.5 inches of water left on the table out there. In our environments, we're not seeing that our roots are getting to the center of that skip. Also, our plant two skip two has shown early season stress worse than any of our other treatments. It was the first to exhibit leaf rolling, and I think it has to do with we're depleting this water nearby quickly, more quickly than the other treatments, and is hurting us early on. Okay, I'm going to move into the other part of our study now, and that's 06 through 08. We started in 2004. We started doing it on a production scale in 2006, and that is the clump planting of grain sorghum. This is, we can see this is in a nested within a long-term rotation study. In this wheat sorghum corn fallow rotation, we don't see any effect there. However, when we move down to wheat sorghum fallow, which is our typical kind of a base rotation for our region, we are picking up in the neighborhood of 7 bushels there, and that's been very consistent. Over these 3 years, we've picked up a positive increase due to clump planting every year, and that's ranged anywhere from 4 to 14 bushel. In the wheat corn sorghum fallow, only a bit of a numeric difference there, but nothing significant. 2008, we did a little more investigation in our clump sorghum. So we looked at, we're going to point out the things here that are significant. If we come over here to reproductive dry matter, our partitioning there, 52.6% into the clump, 49.6% into the conventional. And so that was offset in our stock dry matter category. Grain yield was not statistically significant, but we're looking at 59 bushel to 45 bushel, and so the means there would suggest to me that there's probably something there, even though it did not drop out statistically. Tillers per plant, this is really kind of one of the gist of clump planting, is we're bringing this tillers per plant number down, trying to inhibit tiller development early on, those tillers that typically never result in improved grain yield for us. They develop early on. We typically have better conditions earlier in the season than late, and so those tillers become a baggage to us in terms of transpirational demand of the plant. And so if we can find a way to inhibit their development, that may help us later in the season. 2009, this is our sorghum geometry at Tribune. Again, tillers per plant were decreasing from almost 2.3 down to about 1.7 as we move from conventional skip within the row and then down to the plant one, skip one system, and clumps did the best job of inhibiting tiller development. Grain yield was significant with our conventionals, our conventional planted sorghum yielding the best, and conventional planted sorghum and clump planting being in the top separation. And then our skip within the row, plant one skip one next, and our plant two skip two finishing out on the bottom. Biomass was significantly affected as well. We get over here to water use, and this is what's interesting, is our highest water use was in the clump planting, followed by the skip within the row. And basically our water use goes inverse of our geometries back towards conventional. And I think what this was planted into pretty poor wheat stubble. As Bob mentioned in his talk, we did not have good residue cover in this ground, and I think what we're seeing here in this water use component may be the surface evaporation in these alternate geometries, I think, is playing a role in the higher water use we're seeing in our clump and our skip within row. Water use efficiency, of course, was significantly affected as well, with the highest water use efficiency being in the conventional and the clump. We only had two separations there, but I think that's a big question here, is where's this trade-off in bare soil evaporation versus potential impact on crop yield? Here's a better idea of what we was doing in terms of the geometry. This is what I'm calling the cluster down in here, where we was planting six plant space, skipping six plant space. And this is where our neutron tubes are at, and this is if we look at the differentiation, each tube, what we measured crop water use as being at each of these tubes. And so we was hoping we'd see a depletion effect here, a spatial depletion effect. And really nothing huge. They did drop out significant at 0.05. Typically our water use, and this also leads me to believe there's an evaporation component driving this. Notice we have the highest water use here is out in this open area at 14.3 inches versus 14.1 in the planted area. We see the same thing happen out in the clumps. Basically there was no significant differences there, but if we look at the plant two skip two, it's in these open areas and the plant one skip one. And so I think there's some evaporation issues here. We had some off-station research. We got three producers cooperating with us across western Kansas. This data by and large is out in the field yet. We have done some hand harvesting in areas. Some of this has even been on abandoned irrigated ground. What we have there, just very quickly, tillers per plant, we're doing a reduction there. This is at boot stage, intercepted photosynthetically active radiation. We are intercepting less radiation at the boot stage, and that is kind of one of our goals, is to cut down on that. If we're intercepting that radiation, we have to burn water to deal with it. And so can we cut down on some of that interception without hurting us on yield, but yet saving some water? And so in several of the locations, we've had significant reductions in our light interception there. And at one location, we did change our leaf biomass partitioning. One key point out of this, if we combine all of our data, this is across 251 plots this year. Sometimes we have emergence issues in the clumps. We're dropping three or four seed per clump, but sometimes we only emerge one or two plants, main culms. And so our question is, if we have a poor emergence, can that sorghum still compensate, though? And the answer is it can. Even when we're dropping it at a clump, if we only have one plant emerge, we're setting 3 to 5 tillers. If we only get two up, we're setting 2 to 5 tillers. So there is some compensation. We're not completely inhibiting tiller development. If we don't get good emergence, that plant can still compensate, and that's important. Conclusions, clump-planted sorghum will still compensate. Differences in light interception. Key point, I think, from data this year is a tremendously good year for us yield-wise. It did not appear that we severely limited yields in our clump and plant one, skip one treatments, and that's important that we're not leaving things on the table in a good year. And the same can be said for our corn. We had tremendous corn yields, but to our two highest potential treatments, the clump and the plant one, skip one, it did not appear that we were limiting ourselves. That's an aerial photo of the research site. Part of the funding was provided by the Kansas Ag Research Association. It's a grassroots producer group. And I think I'm out of time for questions, but catch me and I'd be happy to tell you anything I might be able to know. Thank you.